Welcome, and thank you for standing by. I would like to remind all parties that your lines have been placed on listen-only until the question-and-answer portion of today's conference. At that time, if you're wishing to ask a question, please press star one on your touch-tone phone, and please be sure your telephone is unmuted and clearly record your name when prompted so that your question may be introduced. Today's conference is being recorded. If you should have any objection, you may disconnect at this time. It is now my pleasure to introduce your first speaker today, Mr. Abe Christ. Thank you, sir. You may begin.
Thank you, Emily. Thank you for joining the Technology RFP 813 Bidders Teleconference, scheduled from 1 to 2 today or until all our questions are answered. Welcome, and thank you for calling in. Today, we will start with a few overall comments, and then we'll open this up, the teleconference up for questions. It should be noted that most of what is presented in this initial presentation is already written in the RFP, so if you had read it closely, there should be no surprises. If we do not know the answer to your questions today, that is okay. We will write down your question, find out the answer, and produce the information in a FAQ. Before I get started, I would like to acknowledge and introduce my colleagues who are also in the room who will also help out possibly with questions.
Hi, my name is Steve Martin, and I work in the academic office.
And this is Gary Pesco-Solito, the Chief of Fiscal Services for the State Department of Education here in Connecticut.
And again, Abe Christ from the Student Assessment Office in the academic office. Due to several outstanding issues related to the results of the original RFP, it was determined that it would be in the best interest of all the districts for the CSTE to reissue RFP 813 in its current revised form. This was done in an effort to more accurately meet the needs of the state as a whole, as well as to meet the expected and intended use of the bond funds. In order to achieve this, the revised RFP was written so that there are clearly defined limits on how much money can be awarded to each district. Based on how much money was made available by the legislature for this program, the revised RFP sought to achieve the most equitable distribution of funds based on the amount of potential interest and statewide need. The following minimum and maximum standards were defined. Again, this should not come as a surprise as we have outlined this in the RFP. The minimum amount that should be requested is $10,000. Please ensure that your application's budget appropriately requests the minimum required. We will only consider requests that are at least for $10,000. If your district's name appears on the list in Appendix C of the RFP, then you are allowed to apply, but if your maximum request falls below $10,000 when calculated by the simple formula of $22 per student, then please ask for exactly $10,000. The maximum threshold. We are taking the guesswork out of the maximum allocation for which you are allowed to apply. Simply multiply the number of students that you have by $22. That is your ceiling. Your request can be for less than this total as long as it is at least for $10,000. Please do not ask for more than this amount, as applications that exceed this amount or this maximum will be capped at this amount. The population of your district for purposes of this grant is captured in Table C, which is based on the official October 2014 PSIS data collection. Use these numbers and no others when calculating your maximum award. Because of these new limits, this grant is no longer a matching grant. Originally, we asked districts to partially fund projects using the 80-20 scale. This is no longer a requirement. Obviously, districts are free to find additional funding for projects elsewhere, but it is no longer a requirement of this grant that you identify additional funding. Appendix B of this grant provides you with an important aid to successfully applying for the grant. It includes all the necessary pieces of this grant application. These are required pieces of any successful application. failure to include any one of these pieces will result in rejection of the entire application. In brief, these pieces are: a limit of one per LEA. The deadline of 3 o'clock on July 17th, 2015. This includes both electronic copy and 3 hard copies of the application received. A proposal cover page, a rationale that links spending to the CCS and the associated statewide assessments, Smarter Balance, or CTAA, or CMT Cap Science. A proposal narrative not to exceed 5 pages that includes program need and program plan, teaching and learning, program timeline, and project evaluation. A completed ED-114, a budget narrative with a 2-year sustainability plan. Please note that it should be no more than a total of 3 pages, including the ED-114. Please stay within the maximum and minimum award amounts as described earlier, and be sure to include a statement of assurances. It is important to note that you no longer need to seek official board approval for requesting these funds, as this is no longer a matching grant or matching fund grant. The grant applications will be reviewed by department staff in-house. Grants that are missing any required piece of the application will be rejected. Please follow all rules regarding font size and margin size. Once the awards have been determined, that it is up to the bond commission to approve those decisions. Grants are not final until an award letter has been received by the applying district. If you wish, you may fill in the application electronically by using the form provided on the CSDE website. This is a fillable form and is actually located on the current RFP page where the original RFP proposal was posted. The actual technology request will be based on local needs. However, whatever devices you select need to be justified in terms of both supporting the CCSS instructionally as well as supporting the district's ability to administer the new computerized statewide tests. This wraps it up for the main points of the new revised RFP 813. We will now open the floor up for any questions from the field. Thank you. Emily, we are prepared to take any questions now if there are any from the callers.
Thank you, sir. And once again, anyone wishing to ask a question or make a comment, please press *1 at this time and record your name at the prompt. One moment, sir, for the first question. Our first question comes from Aaron Harold.
Hello, this is Aaron from New Fairfield. I have a question about the ED-114. There are several budget codes on there, 340, 530, 650, and 734, but the grant proposal specifies that it's only used to be for hardware, so the other codes would not be used?
To the extent that those codes, Harold, would apply for either, again, the 2 points of the RFP include devices or infrastructure. To the extent that those budget codes would be within those two areas of need, that's the only time in which you would use them. Now, there are narratives. I'm not sure what page in the document it is, but there are descriptive narratives of each of the budget codes. Again, that would have to match align the two allotted purposes of the grant.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jack Zamory.
Hi, Abe. Just wondering if the rubric is going to be updated at all, in particular regarding the sustainability section. Right now, it speaks to completeness of the response, but it doesn't give any specificity regarding the quality of the response, rather specifically if the sustainability is about professional development, financial sustainability, or the device sustainability.
Jack, how you doing?
Good.
So are you referring to the rubric or the checklist, the rubric in the original RFP or the new checklist?
The rubric in the original RFP. Is that, are you keeping that, or is it going to be a new?
It's a terrific question. I want to be clear and very clear that what was considered in the first RFP, so that rubric, this is a new revised version, and the scoring will be based primarily, exclusively on the checklist that's on the back of the RFP. That is what should drive your submission.
Great. Okay.
Thank you. So I guess, I'm glad that was a terrific question, because I would not be sort of distracted by any expressed needs by us from the previous rubric. I would, I don't know if I would go to use the word discard, because I thought it was actually quite well written, but we're going to use the checklist for this new version.
And so I'm going to expand on that. This is Gary. When the new document was issued, the revised document is now the only document. So all of the issues in the revised document are what we're going to be addressing. And nobody should be looking at the initial document. That will not have any bearing on the outcomes. Everything is exclusively in the revised document. That's all you should be looking at.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jennifer Byers.
Hi, yes. Good afternoon, Jen Byers from Ledgerd. I have a question about the timeline. If we're looking at a fairly significant project and we will be using district monies for most of that, but the grant might be one portion of it, is there an issue if the timeline actually starts before the either grant award date or even the submission date? Because given summer vacation, some of our work would have to be done almost immediately as soon as school comes out.
How you doing, Jen?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Abe.
good question. So I'm going to answer the question in this way. The grant funds, again, we provided a timeline in the RFP. So the bond commission date, I believe, is the 26th or 28th of August. And then if things work out well, the awards would be done in September. One thing that's important about bond funds is they cannot be used for reimbursement of any projects. It's really a prospective type of funding. So, to the extent that this funding is going to be used for projects in the future, that would be the most important thing. So if you were to, say, buy 20 Chromebooks today, the use of this money should not be to reimburse for those 20 Chromebooks. That should be really the part of the project that's spent after the funding has been provided to the district, hopefully sometime after the September area.
Okay. Thank you.
Did that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
Thanks, Jen.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jennifer Law.
Hi. I have a question about the fund allocation limits, and I'm the principal at the Kellogg School, which is in the town of Canaan. And we are on Appendix C, so you see our enrollment there is 78. So our minimum, what we are asking for does meet the minimum requirement of at least $10,000, but it doesn't meet the district. It says the maximum request limit for a district cannot exceed $22 per student. And so for that, for us, that's $1,716. So does that mean we're not eligible at all to participate?
Hi, this is Steve. No, you can go ahead and ask for $10,000.
Oh, okay.
You got it?
Yes, great. Thank you.
Answer.
Thank you. And once again, if we have anyone wishing to ask a question or make a comment, please press star 1 at this time. One moment, gentlemen, for the next question. Our next question comes from Doug Casey. Sir, your line is open.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, Doug?
Doing great, Abe. How are you guys?
Good.
Going over to Appendix B on page 14, the checklist, the fourth item down refers to links spending to the Common Core and associated statewide assessments. Is this a similar spirit to the first version of the proposal where the reason for investing in infrastructure is to support the rollout of Common Core? In other words, what I'm trying to get at more directly is you're not asking us to go down to the level of looking at, say, for example, you know, pilot scores from last year or anything like that. I mean, it's not specific data. It's more of the rollout of Common Core.
So, Doug, I'm gonna say two things about this question. Number one is I think the spirit of the non-fiscal side of the ask really hasn't changed too much. So much like the first go-round where we wanted you to create a link basically of the spending between the hardware and the infrastructure and to the extent that it's going to help with the implementation of the assessments and the Common Core, really that's, again, that has not changed. And, yes, that's really all we're asking you to do. I don't think we're looking we're asking that you somehow link I think you referenced field test data or something like that. We're not asking you to put that out there at all. You might reference data in your need area to make the argument that you do need these devices. But again, and just an overall comment that many of the proposals, the guts of the language. Gary made the point that this is a fresh start, but the guts of the ask are really almost identical. And to the extent that you can carry those over to the new one, that is fine, but we're just asking that you stay within the funding allocations that we've outlined.
Got it. Thank you.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Chris Bollinger.
Hello. My question is regarding the funding for the purchase of new devices, would that also include Chrome cards for storage and charging?
Hi. Yeah, so this is Steve. The answer to this question is that the door is kind of open to the kind of device that you need. It's based on local needs. I think that Abe said the actual technology you request will be based on local needs. However, whatever devices you select need to be justified in terms of both supporting the CCS instructionally as well as supporting the district's ability to administer the new computerized statewide test. So that's the real key. It's not what device you buy. It's justifying it in terms of the purpose of the grant.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And at this time, I'm showing no questions. If we do have anyone wishing to ask a question, please press star one. One moment, gentlemen. Our next question comes from Stephen Manley.
Hi, guys. I'm wondering whether there's any correlation between this morning's news about 11th graders that we need to worry about when submitting this grant.
Steve, you're up on the news, huh?
I don't think anybody else isn't, so.
But I didn't see that.
Specifically looking at the high school for one of my proposals, and I want to make sure that's still a valid choice.
The impact of any announcement, the one that for those of you that weren't paying a close attention, the legislature is considering a new law related to the assessment of 11th graders that has really no connection to the extent as it relates to this RFP. Whatever might happen over there, that's a separate deal.
Great. And clearly we don't just educate 11th graders in 11th grade. We educate them in 9th grade and 10th grade and hopefully still in 12th grade.
We agree, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Barbara Gilbert.
Hi, Abe. This is Barb Gilbert from Colchester. In terms of the question that someone recently asked and Steve answered, it's then okay to request new devices that would justify the instruction of Common Core, so in other words, devices for teachers?
Yeah.
Steve,
yeah. I'll try to expand. So the actual device, that last time around, I think there were gray lines being drawn between devices that were allowable and devices that were not allowable. Get rid of those gray lines, but just think about it as far as, hey, if I'm going to try to justify this device, you shouldn't ignore the fact that this is not only for, the purpose of the grant is not only for CCS instruction. That is part of it, but also that in some way you have to justify how this will help with the administration of the test.
So then you'd think we shouldn't request things only for teachers. We should stick to devices for students primarily.
Well, I think you can do both.
Yeah.
Okay.
Barbara, I think, just to piggyback what Steve's saying, I think as long as you can make the connection between, obviously your instruction is central to student success on the assessment, so mm-hmm. as long as you're able to make that connection, which I think should be pretty easy to do, then
right.
that funding allocation would be just fine.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And at this time, I'm showing no questions.
Emily, we would be happy to wait for a minute or two if there's anything percolating out there.
Certainly, gentlemen. And if there is anyone wishing to ask a question, it is star one. And we do, and at this time we have a question from Paula Haldeman.
Hi, Abe. It's Paula.
How are you doing, Paula?
I'm great. Thank you for the opportunity to hear all of this wonderful information. Our question is regarding onto the budget narrative. You indicate that selected grantees are required to participate in any state activities in order to identify promising practices and models for replication. Can you elaborate on that, please?
Sure. This is Steve. I think what that...
Hi, Steve.
Hi. Hi, Paula. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Good. So I think what that means is that in the event that we at the state read a grant proposal and say, whoa, this is the cat's pajamas, we got to let everybody know about what's going on in Xanadu District. Then we sort of reserve the right to sort of publicize that good work for you. That's sort of standard language that allows us to do those kinds of things that will trumpet good practices.
So it's nothing specific. It's just something that in terms of you identify a fantastic program. Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you. And once again, I'm showing no questions.
Well, Emily, we'll wait again a minute here. I do want to thank those of you that attended this. I think it's been stated already, this teleconference will be recorded, and an audio version will be posted most likely on the RFP page along with the facts. Fact page there as well, and I just would like to personally thank some of you for suggesting this idea. This was a suggestion by some during the first go round that this was helpful to districts, and we hope that this call does help you out in some ways, sort of getting these answers out there early so you can move on this stuff.
And we have had a couple of additional questions come up. The next one is from Cheryl Poltrek. Ma'am, your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon. Our question is if the total grant requests that you receive go over the amount of money that you have budgeted, how would you select the districts?
Cheryl, are you talking in the grant scheme or at the district level?
In the grant scheme, if every single district were to apply there probably wouldn't be enough money. So what would be the determining factors, or is there a rubric other than the rubric that's in the application? Point-wise, how would you select, or would you reduce everyone's amount?
Just a minute. If you can hold on, we're going to answer that.
Hi. Okay. This is Steve. So we just wanted to make sure that we had this written in the grant. There is a phrase in the grant that says that tells what would happen in the unlikely event that we run out of money. So I think that it is. I want to express that it is quite unlikely that we will run out of money in this particular grant. But if it does happen, there's a line in there that says in that event we will. Reduce everyone's ask proportionally, except there's a caveat there, except for we won't reduce below the $10,000 minimum.
Fantastic. Great. Thank you. I missed that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Michelle Leask.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Some of this has kind of been asked a little bit before, but I want to just make sure I understand. Like, if I put in something for infrastructure wiring, and, you know, there's equipment there and there's labor there, so that kind of labor is allowable?
Yes. I mean, this is similar to the question or similar to questions that came around on the first grant. If it is required as far as successful installation of, like, so for an infrastructure, and it again relates directly to that. This is bond funding, keep in mind, and the intent is for capital. However, in this case, the argument can be made that there might have to be some personnel hired to get that installed. That would be okay.
Okay, and the thing
contractor
is,
personnel.
Yeah, but like the, in some cases, the contractors might quote so much per drop, and if it's that way, they may not pull it out separately, and then in that case, how would it be reported?
Actually, are you talking about in the budget?
Yeah.
And the contractor is quoting you per drop, their, a per dollar amount?
Yeah.
It relates, that has within that bundle the hardware as well?
Yeah.
I mean, again, so I think the question,
the question,
even if it's kind of embedded, the two pieces, the hardware as well as the labor to get that in, that falls within the purviews of the grant.
Okay, but it would if I had one price like that, it would go under the hardware item.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Are you talking about, Michelle? So disentangling the between the four budget allocations, is that what you're
exactly.
asking?
Yeah.
I would put that under the hardware, yes.
Under the hardware. Okay, and then you mentioned this a little bit before, but somebody asked about carts, as you know, in other words, carts to store stuff as opposed to devices, and I wasn't sure if I heard if you said yes, they could be ordered, or they couldn't. A cart to hold devices.
Right. So, once again, whatever device that you want to use, you just have to justify in terms of the central idea of the grant, which is that this device is somehow going to help you with A, getting the CCS content across the students, and B, helping with the assessments.
Okay, but the point is that's not like it doesn't, in other words, it's related to a mobile device, for example, but obviously the card itself isn't a electronic device, but you're saying that doesn't matter. So if I buy a mobile device that, you know, comes with some kind of a warranty and it's sold as one piece, then that's acceptable.
Yes.
Okay.
Michelle, it's based on local needs. If that's where you're at, that's what we need in order to do this, that's what you write down.
Okay. All right. I appreciate your help. Thank you.
Thank you. And once again, we have no questions.
Emily, it sounds like the group has exhausted their questions. I do want to say that if you do have things, further questions, you can email myself, abe.crist@ct.gov, or steve.martin@ct.gov, and we'd be happy to help you. And thank you again for attending today.
This does conclude today's conference. Thank you so much for joining. You may disconnect at this time.